from through the soul going out of Be'er Sheva, going to Charan, which represents the soul leaving its spiritual source and going down to this world. It experiences, just as Yaakov Avinu did, it describes that Yaakov Avinu went to sleep because the sun set and he lay down. So he just got through explaining that that means that the faculties of the soul are hidden and concealed because it experiences the concealment of godliness. And therefore it's as if it is lying down, that just like a person who's, when he's lying down, his head and his heels are on the same level, meaning that his highest faculties, which are represented by the head, have fallen to such a low level that they are on the same, on a par with one's feet. So that I was said, and that is the experience of the soul here in this world. However, the Rebbe says all of this is for the sake of the greater ascent, the greater accomplishment, which is that ultimately the soul should be on a level of vayishkav, of lying down, that the head and the heels are on the same level in the positive sense. In the positive sense, it means that the lowest part of the person has been elevated to such a state that it is equal to and on a par with the highest part of the person. In the negative sense, it's when the highest part of the person has descended to be on a par, on a level with the lowest part. In the positive sense, it's that through this process, it enables the person to achieve a state in which the lowest part has been elevated to be on a level and on a par with the highest part, that his physicality, his materiality is on a par and on a level with the highest levels of spirituality of his soul, as he shall explain. So we're on page 140, Siv Zion. Vetman does vashtein ba'aktim du'shayla v'yimufarshim fregen. Vaftem vas terpasit yerzelt as va'yifka ba'makim va'yishka ba'makim ahu. The Mufarshim ask, in order to understand this, we have to first preface the question, which is raised by the Mufarshim, the commentaries, on the pasuk, which tells us that he encountered that place and he slept in that place. Now, the Mufarshim point out, what is the significance of the fact that it's of Bamakim Hahu, of that specific place, which is to indicate that previously, the years previously and the years following, he did not sleep. It was only on that night and in that place that he actually slept. That place being the place of the future Beis HaMikdash to be. The Chayr Vikum is as Davke Bamakim Hahu. How is it that specifically in that place, the place of the Makom HaMikdash, that's where Yaakov went to sleep? Even though, as Rashi explains, that the sun sets suddenly, not in its regular time, in order that he should sleep there, that God himself wanted this. Chazal also said on these words, and he slept in that place, Kan Shachav, in this place he slept, and he lay down, I will call you Dal Shana, so you tell him, Vesevel, Loy Shachav, so you Esek, Betera. For all 14 years that he was in the school of the house of Eber, he did not lay down, as he brings in footnote 68 from the commentary Nachlas Yagim. Doesn't mean that he never slept. It means he never slept lying down. He would just put his head between his knees and doze, but he never lay down. Why? Because he was engaged in the study of Torah, as Rashi explains. Kan Shachav, Chazal also tell us that here he slept, that all 20 years that he was in the house of Lavan, he didn't lie down. Und darf ge nachten dik beim machen besser mit schatz rein gelegt schlafen. Darf ge staying overnight in the Makam HaMikdash, that's where he lay down to sleep. As it says in footnote 70, Shinas Keva, the only time in this 34-year period that he lay himself down to sleep officially, which Shinas Keva is Shehiba Eifel Deshchiva Davke. Shinas Keva is only when a person actually lays down to go to sleep. Is der von Gufem oben. So from this itself is understood, as the Shechiva is Eich an Inyan, that the lying down must have some positive aspect to it. If for 14 years previously and 20 years following, he did not lay down, and the Eivish Tadafka set it up that this one night in this one place he should lay down, there must be something very positive about laying down. And in fact, on the contrary, an extremely lofty inyan. When that inyan comes begoli davkin da makam amigdash, this tremendously positive aspect in shchiva, in lying down, in sleeping, while one's head and one's feet are on one level, has such a great quality that it can only be revealed and expressed in this place, this holiest of all places. And we could say the explanation for this. The unterschied begashmi zwischen amida, v'yeshiva, and shchiva is.
It seems a little odd because then when he wakes up, he kind of says, I wouldn't have slept here if I knew I was here. So it doesn't seem like a maila on one hand.
We'll see.
Yeah.
As it says in footnote 71. So we have that covered. Okay.
I read about twice.
Okay. The unterschied begashmis zwischen amida, v'yeshiva, and shchiva is the difference, practically in the physical sense, between standing and sitting and lying down, is by amida and afilu yeshiva. By standing, even sitting, is nikkel begoli der chilek zwischen dem chelke elyon der reish ve'emtze shel adam and chelke atachton der regel. It's obvious, it's very obvious the difference when a person is sitting or standing, it's very obvious in an open and revealed way, the difference between the upper portion of the body, which is made up of the head and the middle of the actual trunk of the body, and the lower part of the body, which is one's feet. As thus is alien, which would indicate that this is higher because it actually controls and leads the lower half. Whereas when a person is sleeping, is an chelik alien, chelik atachton b'hashvah. His upper part of his body and the lower part of his body are on a plane, are on an equal level. And he points out in footnote 72, "Av she'al derech harogil misimim kar tachas haresh." You know, normally when a person lies down to sleep, he puts a pillow under his head. Halachically, it's not a necessity. It's generally something that people do, but it's not something that's necessary. Which means that the concept of sleep in Torah is where the head and the feet are equal. A man may decide to place some support under his head. That is not the definitive description of how one goes to sleep. Maybe practically that's how people do it, but by definition, laying to sleep is head and...
I thought there was an Indian for the... To raise the head a little bit.
I'm gone.
I thought there was an Indian to raise the head a little bit. According,
he doesn't go into it, what the Indian is.
I heard that.
But he just says that al-pitera, there's no...
According to Allah.
There's no distinction. Right. Okay, Allah, al-pitera, there's no distinction between the head and the feet when one's sleeping. People practically do, generally.
No, according to...
I heard that the Rebbe used to wake Bachman up in 770.
What? Uh-huh.
That there were times when the Rebbe saw Bachim sleeping on the benches in 770, that would wake them up and tell them to put something under their head so they shouldn't sleep.
I never heard that he would wake them up.
All right.
That, this I never heard.
So what did he do?
I thought there was an Indian that the Rebbe...
I heard that the Rebbe once, there was one Bachim that the Rebbe once put his coat over.
Yeah. Okay.
But I never heard that the Rebbe wake the guy up. They should put a... Sounds it's not mistaken because it sounds like it doesn't make sense.
I'll check into it.
What do you say? Wake up and go to sleep. Huh?
What?
No, it doesn't sound
No, Pasha al pi halacha, to wake a guy up is Pasha gezel shein. I don't see how pi halacha, how you could wake a guy up in order to get him to put on a pillow.
There isn't nothing even according to Kabbalah or anything that head should be a little bit above.
He doesn't mention it here.
Yeah. But is there? I mean, it doesn't mention it here.
I couldn't tell.
I thought I heard.
Makes sense that there should be some kind of hint, but.
No, he's saying the halacha definitely not.
Okay. So what is the spiritual significance of this, of the fact that physically the difference between sleep is that one's head and feet are on the same level? The chelke oyn from the mensch badait der ruchnis de getegen um hus seine, the chelke tachn shle badait beke sein gashmis. The upper part of the body represents his spiritual significance and his spiritual being. The lower portion of the body represents, what does the lower portion of the body represent? Primarily his gashmias, his physical being. From them is moving. So from this is understood. As alpha people with pashtus ubegoli, is there in your ashriva, from my leruchnis, like tzreitz mit mate gashmias, a yiridik dele b'yetzer, the prinis hagimim. That even though on the simple and open level, the idea of lying down, in which the person's upper part, his spirituality, is on a par, is even with his lower part, his materiality, is in terms of spiritual expression, it would be a tremendously great descent. Von deswegen, still and all, is besherish of a panemius Indian, at its source, and in the deeper significance of this is, there is in this a tremendously lofty quality. As Dafkin dem Matzev steht der Meilat zusammen mit der Mate bei Schwogemur. That it's Dafkin in such a circumstance, in such a situation, where a person's highest spirituality is equal with and on a par with his lowest material aspect. Which this comes from an expression, the revelation of God's very essence. When spirituality is in a highly revealed state, so then there's a very clear demarcation, there's a very clear distinction between the spiritual and the material. It's very obvious that the spiritual is higher and the material is lower. But when there is a state in which the spiritual is concealed, and therefore everything appears to be on one level, this really, in a deeper sense, is an expression of God's very essence, because God himself is spirituality and materiality are equidistant from his essence. They're both equally nothing. Because in the face of true infinity, there is no distinction between high and low. In the relative to the essence, there's no distinction between high and low. They're all equal. They're all equally nothing. The Zaynik in Gatzin Hechef had the Alik Dorim for Milo Mata, that the essence being entirely removed from all definitions of high and low. Zayn Zibay de Lagaviyam Bashva Gemur, man. So high and low are both equal relative to the essence, which transcends the whole issue of high and low. Well, Derech HaYadua. Similar to that which is known, to that which we know, as the pshitus von ha'ish pashut, was by em is nit mei the sechel shabarash, that the simplicity of the simple person, which what defines him as simple, the fact that his intellect does not function in any significant way, his mind is not, his sechel is not really operative, is verbunden with pshitas atzmus, the simplicity, the way in which his soul expresses itself, okay, is the way such an individual's soul expresses itself, that simplicity is bound up with the utter simplicity of God's very essence. So even though on the one hand he would seem to be, when we look at such a person, we say he's much lower than any other functioning human being because his intellect is sorely limited. Okay? His intellectual capacities are severely stunted. And yet, we say that Dafka, this individual simplicity, is a reflection of, in other words, his head, for all practical purposes, there is no significant distinction between his head and his feet. And yet, we say that utter simplicity, which is manifest in such an individual, is a reflection of the simplicity of God's essence, which is indefinable and utter simplicity. Und das wird der noch.
So we're saying in a way that intelligence and Chochmah is a concealment of Hashem.
In a way what?
That intelligence is a concealment of Hashem.
So this explains that intelligence is the first revelation of godliness in the finite sense. It was the first of the spheres. What does that mean? It's the first transition from infinity to finite is into the intellect. So in a sense, the intellect and the from what to all appearances the intellect is a concealment of the infinite. It's a constriction of the infinite. The chiddush is that the pneumius of the intellect is that its tachlis is ultimately to reveal the infinite. But from what you see, because ultimately, but when the true infinity is revealed, then you see that the intellect and everything below it are really are equally nothing relative to its source. So actually, yeah, the intellect is the first step of concealing godliness is intellect. On the other hand, once it's become possible to reveal infinity in the world, and the world becomes a vessel to God's infinity, the first place in which God's infinity is revealed is through the intellect, which is why you have Hasidus Chabad, whose function is to reveal God's infinity into human intellect. And then from there to the human heart and into his thought, speech, and action. And from there into the physical world.
But the simple person doesn't need the intellect.
Right. The simple person is, he's past that.
It's similar
he's
to
before
the,
it,
to the
after
child.
It, is not, it's completely not issue.
It's similar to the case well. That we were talking about with the child. The child before.
Right, similar to the situation.
To right.
Similar to the situation of the child that he's referred to in these earlier sikhas, before he reaches an age of maturity where his intellect has any significant contribution to make. Yeah. Das wird der Nacht nimmt sich. Ich beschasse steht auf. Von Matze war schrieben. And he had, now the person, this can also be drawn down into the person also when he stands up from his lying down position. Als ich dort, wo es herren sich an die Gedanen und Chilo kommt zwischen Meil und Mato, that even now that he is sitting up, and he is awake, he is standing. Okay, similar to what he said in the earlier sikh about the moment of waking up, and now your job is from the waking up and experiencing the essence, you have to bring that down into your consciousness, into every part of your being. So similarly here, the point of Shriva is that the person should experience the state of Shriva is so that when he awakens, he can bring that revelation of the essence down into existence as he experiences it. The world as he experiences it with its distinction between higher and lower. That even in the finite world where there is a higher and there is a lower should be revealed and manifest the true essence which completely transcends the whole issue of high and low. As it, that Nimshich and Nisgalatz Musisbar, that God's essence should be drawn down and revealed even within his consciousness, when he wakes up from sleep, and he's now in a conscious state, and in a conscious state he's upright, and there is a distinction between his upper body and his lower body, that is in it, that God's essence should be manifest within his consciousness and within that world of, within that finite world with its distinctions between high and low. Which at that point, it what is expressed is the fact that high and low, the distinction between high and low is ultimately only one in form, not in substance. Because in substance, they're all expressions of the essence. So it's only in form that here the essence is expressed in a spiritual form, and here the essence is expressed in a physical form. So this distinction is purely in form, not in substance. Aber in Mahus, but in substance, in terms of what it is, they are both one and the same, a manifestation, an expression of God's very essence. Das heißt, als in der Avede von der Inbiziosi wie Beshev again the Kharona, seinem Faran Zvenya, so it comes out that in the service of a Jew, in his going out from Beersheba, going to Haran, there are two elements. Aleph, one, Nesiv Eif, that is Gabrus, from Gilei Haruchnius, Eif Helam HaGashmius. In addition to the fact that his spirituality must overcome, the expression of his spirituality must overcome the concealment of his physicality. In Anefen as Gashmius is not Milam Naziza Kelitzeruchnius. To the point that it must overcome the concealment of the Gashmius, to the point that the Gashmius itself becomes a vessel to the spiritual. Was damelt is the Gashmius, wie sie steht, beginning mit Yusi, Farta Helam, Vestof Ruchnius. Which then, even as it is a vessel, it still has not gone through any substantive transformation. It's only a functional transformation. In substance, a vessel is still primarily a concealment. Except that when something is made into a functioning vessel, its concealment could be used to reveal something. Like the difference between a sealed jar or pot in which what's contained within is concealed, and you can't use it, you can't get to it. Or a functioning cup or pot which has a pouring spout, and you can use it. You can take that cup and use it to express what's inside it. But still, ultimately, in and of itself, substantively speaking, the vessel is a concealment on what's inside. By definition, that's what a vessel is. It contains. It contains it. So even when you've reached, so it's not enough. So even though that is, as we described earlier, that is the job of the neshama is to make the gashmis a vessel to ruchnis. But still, the function of a vessel is that it conceals what is contained within. But its concealment with a positive function. So now I could pour in a concentrated way. I could use this where and when appropriate. It may be utilitarian, but it's still substantively concealment. But through that, that's only a step in the process. Through that vet oivkiton, base the second step, der Stabes des Achtes zwischen Gashmis und Ruchnis, ich beginne mit zu Yusam, hay de Gilei Atzma shel Meile Mishneh. That the physical world should go through a transformation in the substance of its existence. Meaning that the spiritual and the physical become equal. That they both equally mirror and manifest the divine essence. Based on this, we can understand the behavior, the conduct of Yaakov, of laying down to sleep in that particular spot where there resides the greatest sanctity in the world. Warum Adram? Because on the contrary, specifically because this is the place of the sanctuary of God's holy dwelling. Was dort ist der noch gewen tachlis uschleimes am schachas gilelis. That being the place in which at a future time there was the ultimate drawing down and revelation of God. Bis zu gilel ha'atzmus in dem beis, to the point of the revelation of the divine essence within the beis hamikdash. Ubefrat in kedush hakadoshim usis gewen der aron. Particularly in the Holy of Holies, in which was contained the Aron, which Chazal teaches us that its place was not included in the measurement, meaning that the floor of the Kadesh Kadashim was supposed to be, at least in the Mishkan, was supposed to be 20 amos wide. And if you, it said, it, and the Aron itself was supposed to be 2.5 amos wide. However, if you measured the width of the Aron, it measured 2.5 amos the way it was supposed to. And if you measured the floor space of the Mishkan, it measured 20 amos. Theoretically, it should only measure 17.5, because 2.5 amos is being occupied by the place of the Aron, which itself measures 2.5 amos. And yet, you measure the Aron and measure 2.5 amos. You measure the floor and measure 20 amos. The Aron, at the same time that it did occupy space, because it measured 2.5 amos wide, at the same time it did not occupy space, because the floor still measured 20 amos wide. So it was within the realm and transcending the realm of space at the same time. Which, of course, as Hasidus explains, is an expression, a manifestation of the true infinity of the divine essence. Hadesgibrach. So this revelation, which is ultimately revealed in that particular spot, this is what made possible by Yishkav Lamalyusa the concept of lying down in its positive sense. The ability, this Achdus Gemura Fumata Umayla Duch Gili Ha'atzmus, the ability to completely unify, the ability to completely unify the highest elements and aspects of a person's existence, and the lowest aspect of his existence, that they should be completely level in the face of this revelation of true infinity of the divine essence. Das ist was der Pasuk ist gleich mamshach. And that is what the Pasuk is immediately says, states immediately following, describing the fact that he lay down in that place. Vayachalei, and he dreamt. Hine sula mutzav atza, and behold, there was a ladder that stood on the ground. Vereshi magia shomayim, and its head reached the heavens. Vehine malach elikim elim v'yerdim be, and behold, the angels of God were going up and descending on it. Hine avaya nitzav olav, and behold, Yudke Vavke, behold, the Eivishter himself was standing above him. Der chibur v'ichud, the connecting and the unification of atza un hashamayim, of earth and heaven, durch atzmus umahus, ubederach memele zayn un dort de'ech alam alach, that this dream represents the bonding, the unification of heaven and earth between the highest and the lowest elements of existence through the revelation of the divine essence. And therefore, automatically, you have manifest on all levels, every different spiritual level which exists as represented by the malachim, each at its different level, each on its rung. The Shlema Hasdos is Eich Der Bir B'Pnimis In Yonim Vos B'Shas V'Yikatz Yankiv Mishnosik Is V'Yemir Ochin Yishabaya B'Makim Hazeh V'Anechi Lo Yodoti. The B'Pnimis In Yonim, this is what it means when it says that when Yankiv woke up from his sleep. So what did he say? He said, It is so that there is God, the revelation of God in this place, and I did not know. So what is this statement that he makes, and I did not know? As the Gili von Havaya, Shem Ha'etzel, the revelation von Havaya, which in this sentence, which is the name, which it expresses the divine essence, is Hechef HaBchinas Yediyah, is higher than the idea of knowledge. It is the unknowable. But in Yediyah is Agedah from Milo, because Yediyah, knowledge, is a definition of something which is on a higher state of being. Yediyah is doch verbunden mit Mechen Shebereish. Knowledge is connected with the intellect, which is contained within the head, which is recognizable and expressed when a person is standing or sitting. Okay. Whereas, from the perspective of the divine essence, from the perspective of true infinity, the highest and the lowest are all equal. So therefore, true infinity is by definition not in the realm of knowledge. Anechi lo yodati. Anechi, God's very essence, is not knowable. And that's why he said that at this juncture, because that is what he experienced on this spot. And following this, vayira vayema, he became fearful and he said, manida amokim hazeh. How awesome is this place, Ein Zeki and Beis Elokim. This is nothing more than a house of God. So why did he express it? So how did he express the uniqueness of this place? He expressed it as a house of God. Habayis v'dira lo yizbarach. A home and a dwelling place for him. Was hador v'dira yizichdort miskalu b'chol atzmas. Which, as the Rebbe Rashab explains many times, especially in Hamshul Samach Vav, that a dwelling place is a place where he who resides within it is revealed in all of his essence. But that's why Yankov described it as a house of God. And all of this brought about that later, as after he erected the monument, as we shall see further along in Seif Yud, all this brought out the fulfillment of Yankov's vow until the ultimate fulfillment, which is Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Lach, that everything which you give to me, I shall tithe unto you. Durch Gilui Atzmus, through the revelation of the divine essence, Ved Nizgala as Kol Asher Titen Li, that everything is revealed, that everything you give to me, everything is an all-inclusive term, which includes Gashmius V'Ruchnius Gam Yachad, the material and the spiritual together. Everything that comes from Hashem is B'pchines Aser Asrenu Sfiras HaKeser, is ultimately on the level of Aser Asrenu, which, as Chassidus explains, refers to Sfiras HaKeser.
Because it's 20, 2 times 10?
Pardon?
Aser Asrenu, it adds up to 20, 2 times 10, and that's Keser?
No.
How do you get Keser?
The literal meaning of Aser Asrenu is 10.
10.
Right. The Dava Lashon indicates that there is two types, in Kabbalah it's explained, that there are two ways of counting 10. One is Chachma Bina Das, Chesed Gvura Teferes, Netzach Hed Yisaid Malchus, in which case Keser is not included in the 10. There is another way of counting 10, which is Keser, Chachma Bina, Chesed Gvura Teferes, Netzach Hed Yisaid Malchus,
leaving out that,
which is when you don't count. When the Keser is counted, Das is not counted. So, what he is indicating is that I will give a tenth means that I will consecrate everything that you give me unto you, I will elevate it to the state of the tenth. That by the double lashni indicates that aspect of tenth, which is transcendent. Because again, sometimes it's not counted in the ten because it's higher than the ten. That's why it's not counted in the ten. Unless it is counted in the ten. So in Kabbalah it's explained that Asar Asrenu means that Yaakov says, I will elevate all of this to the level of that tenth aspect, which is sometimes higher than ten. In other words, that tenth, the aspect of godliness, which is transcendent, which is infinite, which is the Keser. Unachmer, and even more than Asar Asrenu, even more than that it's all elevated to the level of infinity, but even higher than that, Loch Latzmusa, to your essence, which is the actual true infinity. Because the entire existence of everything that you give to me is only, any difference is only in function and in form, but in essence and in substance, everything is ultimately Loch. Everything is only nothing more than Gilui Atzmusa Yisbarach, than the revelation of his very essence. Al pi anal bet menech vashtein, dosos vayikach me'avnei amokim vayosem irashesu, vayishkav amokim ahu. Based on this, we could also understand this, that it says he took from the stones of the place and he put them around his head and he lay down in that place. On the words, and he placed them, Rashi explains, he made them like a pipe around his head because he was afraid of wild animals.
Why are you making stones like a pipe? A pipe is hollow.
It means that he shaped it like
curved.
The form of drain pipe. That would take the comes down like this. So the stones began arguing one with the other. This one said, upon me shall the righteous one lay his head. And this one says, it should lay it on me. So God immediately made them into one stone.
Weren't we saying that he didn't lay, his head was completely level with his body, so how is he now putting his head on top of the stone?
Let's see. Even though, as the Taz and other commentaries ask, what would it help in putting this little pipe around his head? Can't the wild animals hold sway over the rest of his body? I mean, can't they harm him in the rest of his body? So the commentaries explain, as in Emerson, it's Kavanas Rashi, as Yankiv, at Makiv, and Zengansenguf Mitavon. So they answer, those same commentaries that raised this question, answer that really Rashi means that he put stones all around his body, his entire body. Which they explain, that is why he uses the term Marzev. The reason why he uses a marzev is that a marzev is a drain pipe that runs off from a larger pipe. So it could there can only be a drain pipe if there is a larger pipe. So Rashi is assuming that, of course, he put around the rest of his body, and extending out from the larger circle around the rest of his body was a smaller circle, which was similar to a drain pipe from a larger pipe, which went around his head. However, we still have to understand. Aleph, l'fi anal, favasit der pasuk v'chein b'pirush Rashi, madish v'yosem rashes. So if it's true that he put them all around his whole body, why does the pasuk emphasize that he put them around his head? put them around his whole body. And based beguf ha'inyin, and was pashteti atzola fuchayis tucht, machin ha'marzev, what, how does one save oneself from animals? By making this little pipe around your head, by making this little circle of stones around your head, chayis reitz kenen doch ha'ribba springen ha'marzev, kenira b'muchesh. As the Mer v'shemesh, a Hasidic commentator asks, raises the question, we see in practical terms, a maizev is something that wild animals have the capacity to step over. So like, what do you gain? So why the emphasis on the surrounding the head? And what do you gain by surrounding the head if ultimately the wild animals can get over it? We shall see, Mirza Shem.